When I see things going wrong and I feel powerless, I know that each one of us has this going on in our lives in some form or another, or have had it and will be having it soon. That's just the way the Holy Spirit works. He's very economical. He doesn't give you anything that he doesn't use. So if you see a chapter in this book that you don't want him to use, just skip over it and say, I'll take that one a later time. But this one was mine. And I got to thinking about, how am I going to teach this lesson? You know that I'm going through it, right? So that I don't have the answers. I just have the experience of being ahead of you. How many of you, you don't have to just think about this. In your, this past week, prayed for this meeting today and prayed for me speaking today. If you did that, I greatly appreciate it, because this has been a trial lesson for me to be doing. When I thought about this lesson, I thought about a couple of things. And those things were like places of crossing over. When we looked at this lesson, and it talked about how God deals with us, and we look at things and we think that things are going wrong, but we're powerless to do anything about them. And the author of the book talked about several reasons why we were doing the right things, we were doing the wrong things, we were just doing things, and this is how life kind of unfolds. And as I read this chapter, I went back and forth between my personalities of the genie in the bottle, manipulating God and learning how to do that, or think you know how to do that. And the other one was really just reading it purely as a lesson of how God works. And I found myself at different times during the 2 weeks of studying it, depending on where I was, being on one of those, one side of that or the other. And it's really easy for me at this point in my development to want to be past the genie in the bottle, where God is small enough to sit inside of a bottle, and he only comes out when I want him to come out to solve my problems, and then I put him back on the shelf and I go about my life. And then, so that pattern is so new to me, and so, I mean, that pattern is so familiar to me, to this new pattern that he's working into me. It's very frightening for me that I might very easily fall back into that pattern. And I don't want to do that. And so I got to thinking about, when I was praying about this, that very idea. You know I have to walk, right? So that idea of, what am I going to do with this new place? Because this one is exactly, has that tendency for me to go back and forth. And then I got to thinking about, there are times in our lives when God asks us to cross over. And that's kind of what I would like to talk to us today about, is the places of crossing over. There are graduation points in our lives that we all understand, and we walk into those graduating points, and then we walk on the other side of those. But if we looked at this lesson today as a place where we are crossing over, maybe God has got you at a place of crossing over. And that's why when you look at your life and you see the things that are going on, and you're wondering, am I in the favor of God, or am I in the discipline of God? Am I in the place where I've done something wrong, or whether he's trying to teach me something new? It's kind of hard to figure that out for me, especially for me, what God's doing and how I react to what he's doing in that. But I thought about places of graduation. And I thought the first place that I graduated was when I am the last of 7 children. And so my mother was filled with 6 children in front of me, getting them ready for school, packing their lunches, getting their clothes clean, helping them with their homework. And so she didn't really prepare me for the first grade. She just thought by osmosis I would pick it up. She didn't realize I'm the 7th child, and I just didn't have a clue that my little world was going to change at age 6. At that time, there was no preschool. There was no kindergarten. There was no Head Start. It was just, when you turn 6, the next September, you get to go to school. And my mother was always involved in school. So I, as the smallest child, was always being drugged to school. I went on field trips. I went to PTA meetings. I went to mothers, when they would be there to support the teacher whenever the kids were doing special projects. I was always at school. So my mother thought I would just know what school was all about. So the first day of school, my mother took me, and she dropped me off with a very, very old lady named Mrs. Hopkins. Mrs. Hopkins had taught all of us in front of me. So she no longer called my mother Mrs. Ingram. She just called her Ingram. So when Ingram dropped me off in the first grade and she walked out the door, I had a heart attack. I had no idea. What do you mean you're leaving me here? I burst into tears. So my mother and Mrs. Hopkins took me and said, why don't you take her home? She just isn't ready to adjust to the first day of class with all the newness and everything. Well, this went on for 2 weeks every day. So finally, the principal called my mother in. His name was Mr. Sullivan. He called my mother in. Of course, she had had 6 of us in front of me, so she was very familiar with the principal's office. She knew right where to go. He called her in, and he says, Mrs. Ingram, I just don't think Latricia is ready for first grade. I think we really need to think about holding her back a year. Well, of course, they didn't say that in front of me, or I would have, So my mother went home, and of course, she told my father. And my oldest brother was in the conversation. So they offered me $1 each, $1 from my dad and $1 from my brother, if I would go to school for 1 week and not cry. Well, $2, that was a lot of money to a 6-year-old. All I got to do is not cry. Because they knew if I didn't cry for 1 week, the chances are I'm going to be okay. Well, I didn't know the threat was, if you don't do this, we're going to take you out of school. So I bought the bribe. I took the $2 after a week and started crying again. No, I didn't. So I kind of graduated. But in that first grade, you learn the ABCs. I did not know the ABCs. I did not know A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Hey, I just said a prayer to God according to that last lesson. Anyway, I didn't know the ABCs. I didn't know 1, 2, 3. I didn't know anything. So I had to be taught all of that from the very beginning. And at the end of the first grade, I was expected to know how to read. Well, about halfway through, I actually was reading, and Mrs. Hopkins called my mother in, and she said, why don't you read to your mother? And I was so excited to read Dick and Jane. I was so excited about the little book I was reading until I skipped about half the pages and half of the story, getting excited about trying to get ahead of the whole story. I was just excited to be reading. So what happened is, as I matured in that environment, I took on more and more responsibility. Not only could I say my ABCs, not only could I put the words together, not only could I follow a story, not only could I do 1, 2, 3s, not only could I add and subtract a little bit, not only could I jump rope and place kickball and all of those things that you do in the first grade, at some point in time, I was maturing along the way. This is what this lesson is for me about today. It's about where you are and how are you maturing along the way with God. Because if God is testing us, if God is trying us, if God expects us to be able to endure the test that He's giving us, not only to accomplish the things that He wants us to do, but to learn the things that He wants us to do, so He can move us along to different graduating points. So in the first grade, at the end of the first grade, I got a report card that said, you had passed to the second grade. And it continued on and on. So then I went to the sixth grade, then I went to junior high. And at the end of junior high, I got to go to senior high. And at the end of the senior high, I was supposed to do something else, and I went and worked for a while. So each place, there was a designated part of your learning curve that you needed to accomplish in these set environments for you to move on. Well, I think sometimes in my own Christian walk, I got stuck at places where God was ready for me to cross over. When God was ready for me to graduate into a new relationship with Him, I didn't really want to graduate. I remember being in my senior year in high school and became terrified that I'm not going to get to go to school anymore because I had done this for 12 years. I was pretty good at going to school. I wasn't really good in school, but I was good at going to school by this point in time. So it was a place where it was frightening that I had to cross over to something that was supposedly that I had not ever done before, but I was supposed to be prepared to do. And I wasn't confident enough that I was really prepared to do it now that it's time to do it. How many of us in this room right now could say, in looking back at your Christian walk, there have been times and places where God has asked you to graduate? Where He said, we're done with that way of doing things. That's the place that I'm in right now. He's saying, Tricia, I'm done with the genie in the bottle. Now, I'm ready for the genie in the bottle to be gone also. But it's a place really where God is saying, I'm not going to work with you that way anymore. And I don't feel ready, totally confident to cross over, to graduate to this new God. Because this God is kind of it's reassuring and it's comforting. This big God that doesn't have to live in a little tiny compartment that I put Him in. It's really wonderful to see Him loose, but it's also very frightening because what if it doesn't work? I can't go back because that's done. I've got my diploma from the 12th grade and I'm expected to do something else. Maybe as you read this lesson, the Holy Spirit started saying to you, what are you going to do with the fact that you're in trials and you're in a place that's not familiar to you? And I need you to move on. I need you to grow in this. I need you to figure out, is this the testing of God to show that I'm ready? Is this the testing of God to reveal to me where I need to work on? Is this a test that says with a little gold star at the end of the day that you've kind of passed it? Is it a test that you've taken before and you've not been successful at, and so He's brought it back in a different form? He's repackaged it and He's bringing it back in a new way. In the place of the where God wants us to go, there are places of crossing over. And I think it's really easy. Kirky gave me, loaned me a book. It was called You Set My Spirit Afire. And it's a really good devotional book. And I went out and bought it. I do not have Kirky's copy. Because Kirky had all the good stuff underlined. And so I wanted to be really brainy and I wanted to underline everything. So I went and got my own copy. And in this book, it talks about the sweet things of God. And there's a place where we want to stay in the sweet things of God. That's the easy stuff. That's the stuff where God just kind of answers your prayer. You open the Bible and there's the scripture that you've wanted for the day. There's some inspirational music that comes on at just the right time. And He knows that you're in elementary school and He kind of walks you through the sweet things. But as a parent, we know that we can't keep our kids alive on just sweet things. Sometimes they've got to come down and eat vegetables. They've got to come down and eat good, wholesome apples and oranges and things like that. But we like to eat sweet things. And so in our life, maybe we're at a place where God is trying to say to us, okay, I've fed you the sweet things of me. I've answered your prayers every time. I've let you flip the Bible open and great verses fall out for you. And then all of a sudden that doesn't seem to be working anymore. You find the one that says, you know, that's not so good news kind of a thing. And God is saying, I want you to know more about me than just these open up and find a scripture for the day or the reading for the day or the devotional for the day. He wants you to move on. He wants you to cross over into maturity. I wonder if in this lesson today, is God asking us, it's time for us to grow up. It's time for us to graduate from the place that we are to the place where He wants to take us. And I've always known that the place He wants to take me is better than the place that I'm at. But this is all brand new. It's all unfamiliar out here in front. When the children of Israel were at the Jordan and Moses had died, and it's in Joshua, the second chapter. I don't want to read it because I don't want to take up all the time. But it's the story where they reach the Jordan. It's the story where Moses has died, and now it's Joshua's responsibility to take them into the promised land. And God gives him some instructions. In fact, I think I will read this one paragraph. So if you have your Bible and you want to flip over there with me real quick, it's just one little section in Joshua. Joshua's not in here anymore. It was in here this morning. All right. I'm sorry, it's actually in 4. Starts in verse 1. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the tribes, one from each tribe. Tell them to take up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you are to spend tonight." The children of Israel have crossed over the Jordan. They're in the promised land. And God asked them to take a monument, a memorial, 12 stones to the other side. I would challenge us today, out of this lesson today, were we talking about when you see things going wrong and you feel powerless? What do you know about God? You know that He's not powerless. What do we know on this side of the Jordan, on this side of the crossing, on this side of the graduation? What do you already know? You already know that He's faithful. You already know that He has a plan and His plan is good. You already know that He's a good God and there's no darkness in Him. You already know that He has it all worked out from the very beginning to the very end. Before you were even created, before you were knitted together in your mother's womb, before you were named, He already had it all arranged. So He already knows how to get us, to help us cross over. But that crossing over takes a lot of preparation on this side. And God has prepared you for the place that He's brought you to and ready to walk you over. And now He's asking you to walk over, to come over into His promises of this new place. It's not a place that God would take us that is not prepared for us, and we're not prepared to take it. The children of Israel were prepared to take the promised land. They just had to fight for it. They had to listen for what God was saying and when God was asking them to go and do. And what they did is they took the opportunity to cross over. And that's what I would ask us today. Has God got you at a place that He's asking you to cross over? And as much as you want to cross over into God's promises, the things that God wants for you, it's easier to stay over here where it's fairly comfortable and you've done the same thing. But the problem with that is God's finished with it. God's done with the wilderness. He's done with this part of your life, and He's asking you and He's calling you and He's saying in the test of times to say, "I'm ready to cross over with God." And we have to be very familiar when God asks us to cross over. We have to take all the knowledge that we've already accumulated on this side and take it over with us. When I went from the first grade to the second grade, I didn't have to learn to read again. I just had to learn to read more difficult words, bigger words, harder stories. When I needed to do the math, I didn't leave behind 1 + 1 when I went into long division. I still needed to know how to add and subtract, but now I needed to know how to apply that same principles over here in long division. Then I had to learn how to apply it in fractions. Then I had to learn how to apply it in more and more complicated situations. And I wonder if some of us sitting in this room, if God is not calling us at this time to come into a more complicated situation. Now, it's not complicated for God, but it is for us because we've learned how to work with the limitations that we've had. And we've learned how to hopefully grow so that He knows that we're ready to cross over. But we may not be willing to cross over. When God said to me that He was done with the genie in the bottle, I was done with it too, because it made God too small, and my life is too complicated to have a God that is that small. I needed a bigger God. I needed all of God. I only had a little tiny part. Had I dropped out of school in the sixth grade, I would have had a part of education. But I would not have had all of it. When I chose to cross over from the sixth grade into the seventh grade, and at that time that was junior high, so your seventh, eighth, and ninth was junior high, 10, 11, and 12 was high school. And each one of those places of crossing wanted me to use what I already had and build on that to something that would create something greater in me. That is what God is asking me to do right now, and it's very frightening. Because I have crossed over, but I'm not comfortable over here. So God has asked me to take some stones from my journey and carry them over with me. I'm not going to fall off, I promise. To carry them over with me into this new relationship. So what do I know about God? I know He's faithful. I've got scriptures hidden in my heart. And I call on those scriptures because I know who God is. Now, I know for a fact He's going to show me a bigger God than He's been. Not that God has been, but that I've allowed Him to be in my life. I want a bigger God. I've already read you the scriptures several times, where it says that He would give me a heart to know Him. And, that's what I want. And so I began on this side, the hunger to know Him. Which meant I could no longer pull on what I already had experienced, which is the genie in the bottle concept. And it was really easy for me to pull that down, rub that, beg God, fall on my face, and beg God to answer this prayer for me, never having the confidence that He really would. And when He decided, I'm not coming out of the bottle anymore, I'm not doing this anymore, it wasn't that He was abandoning me, He was asking me to cross over. But He wanted me to cross over with all the knowledge that I already had. Cross over here and say, okay, I want you to expand me. I want to get to know all of you, the length of you, the depth of you, the height of you, the width of you. I want to know all of you. And I want a heart to know you. I don't want to be satisfied with just what I already have. I really want a heart. How many of you in this room right now are hungry for something that's different? You've eaten the same thing over and over. And though it is good and it's nourishing, and if it isn't even almost filling, it just is no longer satisfying you. It's because God is calling you to cross over to something that's different. Maybe it's through a trial that He's saying, okay, I've given you something. Now let's see what you're going to do with it. You've already been equipped. You've already been trained. I'm going to give you something now to use that knowledge with. Maybe it's some place to examine your own life and say, you know, Lord, I've held on to this one thing. I've held on to this one way of doing it. I've held on to this one idea. I've held on to this one concept of how you work. And now there's something that's come into my life that I really need a different kind of working in my life. Maybe it's something that you had planned for and you had expected, and then all of a sudden now it's arrived. And now you're thinking, oh my goodness, on Friday I'm going to have a baby. Am I really ready for that? I've tried to be ready for that, but I've listened, and I've watched my nephews and nieces. I've read the books. I've gone to all the classes, but am I really ready? I bet every one mother in here would nod their head and say, no, I don't think you're ready until Friday when you get to take it home. So God is asking you to come over to a different place. Now He's prepared and you've prepared, but now He wants you to cross over. This week has been, or actually 2 weeks has been a really rough one. I was invited to go to the Village People's house, and I went. I was never so intimidated in my whole life. I'm not very intimidated, but I was so intimidated. I don't know why, but I stood up there, and everything that I had prepared for and thought about just went. And it was very obvious that it had gone and I was still there. And I apologize to you, but it was very intimidating for me. So I left there thinking, I got to do this class next. So the Holy Spirit was already working many things in me, and one of those things is getting rid of the genie in the bottle. Well, guess what happened this week and last week? The world just began to really turn upside down, and lots of little tests came along. What am I going to do with all of these little tests that are coming along? I wanted to run back to the safety of the genie in the bottle. But I said, I really have been praying a long time now, for about maybe a year and a half, for this new place. So it would be really easy for me to just walk back across into across the crossing point, the graduation point, turn my diploma back in and say, I want to go back to junior high. I want to go back to a place where it's very familiar. But the Holy Spirit challenged me inside of me to not. Let's try this. Let's try this big God. Which meant, let me see if I can articulate this in a way that makes sense. Because it doesn't, you know, it's not tangible. He's not really talking to me. He's just impressing me with things in my spirit. He's saying, let's try this where you just actually relax and believe. Get rid of your rag that wipes the genie. Get rid of the vessel that you think God lives in, this small little place. Let's relax and believe God that He's really big enough to help in this circumstance. I began to pray prayers out of the Word of God. And somebody asked me a couple of weeks ago about this. So I'm going to spend just 2 minutes doing this. And I told Kirky this. And this sounds like another one of those name it and claim it. But it's not. It's kind of like this book. One time you can read it, and you can read it with the how can I manipulate God. And the next time you can read it and think, you know, wow, this is a real lesson I really need to learn. This is another one of those. Finding things in the scriptures that actually apply to what you're going through right this minute. It's not a name it and claim it. It is the Word of God. And I truly do believe that the words in the Bible, the way God put them together, they have power. Now, you believe that too, or you wouldn't be sitting here saved, because you would not believe that the Word of God has the power and the cross of Calvary and the blood of Jesus to wash away your sins and cleanse you and save you for all eternity. But in the Word of God, it's kind of like a place about 5 years ago that He took me through with finding scriptures in the Bible and then beginning to speak them out so often that they became part of who I am. And that comes from that take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That one that guard your heart and your mind, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. All of those scriptures that you have, that you've hidden in your heart, that you meditate on, that's really what you're doing, is you're bringing those scriptures to life. So when I was in the midst of the test, I found scriptures that fit that test. And I began to speak those scriptures out. It wasn't a name it and claim it. It wasn't a manipulating God. It was saying, God, I believe Your Word is true. And I believe that the words of the Bible have power to transform my life. I believe that I can renew my way of thinking by meditating and concentrating and focusing on what the Word of God says. And because I am in a new place and this is new to me, I've got to try something that's different. And so I want to go back to what You had taught me 2 years ago, bring that forward, crossed over into a new place, and say, I believe that back there, it's probably been about 5 years ago now, back there You were teaching me the Word of God is alive and powerful, the way I've put it together, that can change your life and impact your life. So I'm going to pull that lesson from that part of my education up here to where I am today without crossing back over and getting back into the genie in the bottle. So I've got to have lessons that will really work for me over here. So I begin to find scriptures. My husband had a severe nosebleed, and I'm not talking about just little nosebleed that you can get to stop. We went to the emergency room 3 times and they couldn't get it to stop. So I was very frightened because he has a bleeding problem. And so once he starts, it's really hard for them to get him to stop, though he is not doesn't take blood thinners and all that stuff. It's a long story. But I found a scripture about somebody in the Bible named the woman with the issue of blood. And I began to pray that to God. And I thought about, what did that lady do in that story? Now, it's just a story. But it became so alive for me because this lady was paying doctors to help her. And they couldn't help her. And my husband and I were running to the emergency room because he was hemorrhaging from, it really wasn't a nosebleed, it was a sinus bleed, but at that time we didn't know that. So we're going back and forth and the emergency rooms are shaking their heads and the doctor's office saying, we can't see him because he's an active bleed, you've got to take him back to the emergency room, and the emergency room is saying, don't bring him here because we can't do anything to stop it. You've got to take him to a specialist. So we were, I found that story and I began to pray it. I didn't pray the story as much as I prayed the influence that was over the story. And that was, what did this woman do? She reached out and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. She touched his healing power. She touched his authority. She touched his dominion. She touched the title of who he was, the great physician, the healer. And I began to pray that story back to God. It built faith inside of me. It built reassurance inside of me. But I had no guarantee that anything was going to happen. And I wasn't trying to manipulate God to say, okay, God, this is the story. You've got to make it happen for me. I was just saying, God, this is a new place that I'm at. I'm trying a new skill. It's something that you taught me that I'm bringing forward with me. And I need to see how it's going to work in this circumstance. There was some peace about me. There was some very strong concern because of the fact that he is a bleeder. And so there was some concern about that. But yet there was a peace about that. And it was a new place. So I decided I'm going to build, it's like one of those stones. I'm going to put it on this side so that when I come back to want to cross back over, I'll see 12 stones that says, no, you've already crossed over here once before, Tricia. Don't go back over there. So my challenge for us in this room today is, when we read this lesson today, how many of us is God asking us to walk across? To go on the other side of the circumstances that we're in. To grow over. To grow up. And go over here with all of the experiences that we've learned from our past, all of the education that he's given us, all of the scriptures that we know, all of the things that we know about God, all the wonderful stories in the Bible, all the lessons that we've learned, all the songs that we know, all the scriptures that we can quote. Bring all of that over with us into this new place and see what this new place is going to bring, a new dimension of God in our lives. It's very frightening to be this close to the place of crossing because I can still see on the other side. And it's kind of almost a drawback to going back to where I was when God is asking me to go over here and believe for a bigger something of God. I don't know what that means, except for me personally, I knew I got hungry enough for the knowledge of God, that I believe God wants me to grow up. He wants me to graduate from where I've been to where he wants me to go. Why? I don't know. Bigger things? I hope. If not, it's just a bigger God, and that would be the best of it all, if I got a idea of how big God really was and how much he's involved in my life. We finally went to the emergency room for the third time, and I had prayed that night. I said, Lord, we don't know the doctors that they're sending us to. I don't know whether there are any. You know, you just don't know because it's just a list from the emergency room. Here, somebody call him tomorrow morning and see if he can work you in. He should be able to because it's an emergency room and it's a referral from the emergency room. So he should see you pretty quickly in the morning. Well, I just said, Lord, I don't know this doctor. I don't know if he's any good. I don't know anything. So you've got to help me have enough faith to believe that you will work this out for me, because I really want to go back over here and rub the bottle and beg you and plead with you and cry out to you and just say, you know, you got to help me, please. I just don't know. But there was a place he's saying, I want you to rest inside of me, of knowing who I am. So the next morning we called the doctor and they told us, we can't see him because he's bleeding. He's actively bleeding. And so you've got to go to the emergency room. But the emergency room has told us that don't come back out there because they can't do anything. You've got to see him. No, we won't see him. We won't even consider seeing him. So I called another place and I said, it was a doctor that we had used in the past. He's not a ear, throat guy, but he's a heart doctor. And I said, you know, I know you, it's not anything to do with that, but can you just tell us, give us a referral to somebody? I mean, you're a doctor's office. Surely you know somebody. And she quoted back the same place that the emergency room had given me on the piece of paper. She said, that's where we would send a patient from here. We would send them to this clinic. And that was the same clinic. So I felt like that was a confirmation for me that it was an okay place. Well, they still wouldn't take us. So we did go back, and I prayed the night before, Lord, you have to give us somebody who really knows what they're doing. You have to give us a doctor who really knows what they're doing. Not just somebody who thinks, okay, this is a little tiny nosebleed and we'll pack it and we'll send you back home and the packing doesn't work. And we got there and we got it wasn't a military doctor, but he was like a robot. I mean, he was chomp, 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 and that nosebleed didn't dare bleed anymore. He stopped it. We went to the doctor. The doctors pulled out the padding. The padding, it never once bled. It hasn't bled again. Thank you, Jesus. But it was a new place for me. It was over here on this side of the crossing, and I had to find a new way of dealing with this God. And it was scary for me, and I found myself turning and wanting to walk back, but at the same time wanting to know this bigger place, this new promise, this big land where everything is what God intends for me to be is over here, not back there. I brought the lessons that He taught me in the past, and I brought them with me over here on this side. But it was all brand new, and I was still really close to the edge. And I'm still really close to the edge. And I won't promise you that next month or 2 months or whenever I see again, that I won't be back on this side of it. I hope not. But that is a place where I wonder if God is asking you to cross over today. And I'm going to take with me that one monument, and I'm going to take that one rock, and I'm going to leave it on this side so when I get scared and I walk back, I'll have to trip over the one promise of God that I've seen manifested. It's a small thing, but it's a place, it's a giant step for me. It's kind of like when they went to the moon and said, this is a small step for mankind, but it's a big one for me to step off into this new place. And I ask you the question from the lesson today, in the tests and the trials that you're in, is God believing that you're strong enough to go ahead and walk into His promises? Is He saying, let's see, let's test what you think you're weak in, let's see, and let me show you that indeed you are strong? Is He saying, you know, it's not, can I please God? And that's where you can read this and say, okay, can I please God enough that He'll answer my prayer? He's not asking you to please Him enough to test your faith. Do I have faith that's big enough to trust God? He's not asking us that. That's an easy way to read it. Well, if I've got enough faith, then He'll do what I want Him to do. No, He's saying, I believe you have enough faith. You don't know that you have enough faith, so come on over here and I'll show you. Come on over here. I've already trained you and equipped you to come over on this side and walk over into the things that I want you to walk into. He's not asking for the trials to come along and say, you know, okay, am I doing the right thing? And I've got these trials coming and the enemy doesn't like it. And so, I don't know. I don't think that's our question to answer. Our question to answer is, I know this about God. Am I doing the wrong things? And this is the trial to say, you know, okay, get back in line. Maybe that's a place that God does. I mean, it's all through the Bible. She gives wonderful scriptures on how that works. But I wonder if He's just asking you to cross over. Cross over into something else. Cross over into a new aspect of your faith. Cross over into a new place where the trials do still come. And I think in America we have a tendency to believe in this easy gospel that if I am living my life the way God wants me to, I have an easy time of it. Things come easy. It's easy to look and see mega ministries say, look at me, look how wonderful God has been to me. If you don't have the fancy car and you don't have the big ministry and you don't have the this and the that, then there must be something wrong with you. You need to get it straight in your life. I don't know. That's not what I read in the Bible. The Bible just says God is trying to move us from where we are to where He wants us to go because He's got bigger things ahead of us than He has behind us. But He can't give you the big things or the great things or the wonderful things until you're ready to be able to cross over. And there's places where He wants you to graduate from. But we can sit down here and stay at this place. And it's okay. I believe it's okay for some time for us to sit on this side and say, you know, God, that's too big and too scary, and I just don't know if I'm really ready yet. Okay, that's okay. Let's go back and let's learn this. Let's go back and re-experience that. Let's go back and give you confidence here. Let's go back and learn some more scriptures. Let's go back and learn some more worship. Let's go back and learn how to praise God. Let's go back and learn how to worship me. Let's go back and build some more monuments so that you can pick up the stones and take them with you. Let's go back and give you some more diplomas. Let's go back and learn some of those lessons. Okay, so you're not ready to read. You're not ready to go into calculus. Let's go back and do a little bit of algebra. Let's go back and refresh you so that you know that I have confidence in the place that I'm taking you. And I've prepared you to go and walk in that place. I think that's what this lesson for me was all about. It was a place of saying, the trials that I bring into your life, based on you're ready for them, based on working things out in you, isn't the question. The question is, are you ready to cross over? Look in your heart right now and ask yourself this question. Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit, I really believe I'm ready to walk over. I'm ready to cross over. I believe you've brought me to this place. And it's new and maybe it's a little frightening, but I really am ready to walk into whatever it is that you have on this side. Because this has become a place that's too familiar. It's a place where I've limited you. It's a place where I have let things that I know that are not true about you become strongholds, or at least places that stop me from moving on. Maybe it's not the place. Maybe you've just crossed over and you're being tested to see how much will you stay on this side versus that side. I don't know, but I know that God wouldn't bring a lesson into our life. And maybe he brings it into me. And like I said, it took me 2 weeks to get it. It probably take you 20 minutes to get it. But the idea is that God brings things into our lives just to wake us up and to put a new perspective on something maybe that he's already working in our lives. There's a book called In My Father's Vineyard. It's Wayne Jacobson. And this is a section called According to the Season. And I just want to read it. It's not about crossing over, but it is about changing seasons. And it's the same thing. I could have used that analogy. But because I feel like I've crossed over, I wanted to use that one. But here is two paragraphs out of this book. It says, without the changing seasons, vineyards would never bear fruit. Likewise, our spiritual growth demands an ever-changing climate. A season when God's work is tailor-made to our personal circumstances. A season designed by the Father as he nourishes our lives toward fruitfulness. Seasons that bring a healthy balance of joy and challenge, of diligent effort and renewing test. It's God's vineyard. He determines the seasons of our lives, when to prune, when to weed, when to harvest. We are the branches on his vineyard, privileged to grow and blossom and bear fruit, to follow his perfect path through all the seasons of our lives. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads in prayer and we bless these ladies. We ask you to shine your light upon them. We ask you, Lord, to turn your face toward them and be gracious to them. We ask you, Father, to help them cross over where you're calling them to cross over. In that crossing over, we ask you to pull down the mountains that stand in the way. We ask you to lift up the valleys that seem so deep. We ask you to make straight their paths. We ask you, Lord, to walk with them. And we ask you, Lord, to make your heart tender toward them. Make your heart receptive to their cries. Lord, we ask you to give them your courage and your strength. We ask you to encourage them when they're discouraged and bless them when they feel like they failed. to pick them up when they feel like they've fallen and bless them on their journey. Give them the courage to stand and stand firm on the other side. Give them the courage to put their feet in the water and walk across where you've asked them to move out of and into. We ask you, Lord, if we're on the other side, to help us find monuments that we can bring with us, that we can set on the other side so that we know we have testimonies of your faithfulness to bring us across and to deliver us into this new place. Father, we ask you to quicken our spirit and our hearts, to hear your voice as you teach us and call us in the tests and trials of life, Lord. Whether they're to teach us to grow or they're to show us your favor and your faith in us, we ask you to give us a spirit of discernment. Lord, as they go into their small groups to study and discuss their lessons, Lord, we ask you to be with them and give them creative ideas and creative thoughts. Hide it in their heart, Lord, so that they can call upon you in the dark hours, in the lonely places. But Lord, they bring with them everything that you've taught them to this place. In the powerful name of the Lord Jesus, we bless them. Amen.